Hi everyone, it's Kesonga. Just a reminder that you can listen to all of our podcasts ad-free on the Headspace app. Headspace
Studios. I can't say that I forget it, because that would be a lie, but forgiving is enough. You know, you don't have to forget it, but you can heal from it.
From Headspace Studios, I'm Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. This is The Gift of Forgiveness, a podcast filled with inspiring stories from those who've overcome the unforgivable. Today, I'm super excited to share a conversation with my friend, Jessica Simpson. If you've read Jessica's new, raw and honest memoir, Open Book, you'll know that Jessica's been through a lot in her life so far. Her incredible career, challenging relationships, addiction, emotional and sexual abuse, and getting to a place where she was able to practice forgiveness. On this show, we're telling people's stories as truthfully as possible. Sometimes you might feel uncomfortable or anxious. If that happens, I encourage you to pause and take some deep breaths. I say this at the top of every episode because they're all emotional and raw. But in this episode, we'll be discussing childhood sexual abuse. Please take care while listening. I met with Jessica right before the COVID lockdown. As you'll hear, we joke about being able to do things like spend time with groups of friends and meet people on book tours. What a different time it was. Luckily, we got the chance to sit down and talk about how practicing forgiveness changed her life. We talked recently, obviously, about your book. You have a lot of different moments when you talk about forgiveness in your life. And I think it's also been part of your journey to even get to a place where you were able to write your book and be so honest with people about your journey.
And for me, forgiveness has always been an easy thing. Like, I mean, that's why I stayed, went back and forth in a relationship that was pretty destructive. Like, if somebody hurts my feelings, if I have a conversation with them and we talk very openly and honest, and if they say that, you know, they're sorry, that, you know, I'm really good at knowing that they actually mean it. You know, I think the hardest person in the world to forgive is yourself.
Yeah.
And especially, like, when we own our mistakes and when we own, you know, the choices that we've made moving forward is so much easier and it's so empowering. We're human, you know? So I think that, like, forgiving ourselves in moments where we knew we probably shouldn't have gone back into a relationship, or forgiving yourself for not liking what you see in the mirror and for really shaming yourself more than the world shames you, more than anybody around you shames you. I mean, we are our own worst enemy. And I think that really finding a way to love yourself and all the choices in the life that you have lived, just finding compassion for yourself is hard. But once you get to that place and really take ownership, you really move forward in a way that's very enlightening, because then you feel such a divine purpose.
You grew up in the church. Do you remember learning about forgiveness in the church or as a child? And how was it taught to you?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the theme of faith, right? It is forgiveness. It is Christ who died for our sins. And in a moment right before death, he was forgiving everyone because they know not what they do. In my life, like, I was raised to be more Christ-like. Everything was, you know, live the life of Christ, like that type of thing. And I mean, obviously, that's a very high standard to measure yourself up against. And, you know, growing up with my father at the pulpit at all times, and teaching about forgiveness, and it just makes faith, it's just so, like, I understand it so much.
Do you feel like it changed what forgiveness meant to you growing up in the church and seeing your dad at the pulpit. And
yeah, I mean, learning. I never, even though I don't go to church every Sunday and that type of thing, like I've, and there have been really traumatic things that have happened in my life. Like I've never blamed God and I've never been mad at God. It is because of my faith that I am able to forgive in so many ways.
So in your book, you also talk a lot about the sexual abuse that occurred when you were younger. Mm-hmm. Was there forgiveness that played a part in that healing journey?
Yes. I of course, was hurt. I started praying for these people that were hurting me because obviously they had something going on in their lives because they wanted to take me down.
Jessica was being abused by a girl she considered a family friend. When their families would meet for a few days each year, Jessica and the girl would have a sleepover. That's when the abuse started happening. It went on for years and Jessica didn't tell a soul. When Jessica was in middle school, she confided in a close friend about the abuse. But her story was quickly turned around, and that girl Jessica had confided in told everyone at school that Jessica was the one abusing her.
And the girl that actually ended up telling my abuse story, saying that I did all those things to her, the girl that told that to the entire school was being abused. So I had compassion for her, and I tried to see her side, like why she would take such a secret of mine and put it out there and make it hers, you know, like I really tried to understand like why it was something that I did to her. But really, in the innocence of it, it was because the guy that she liked me, you know, and that was just junior high thoughts, you know.
high school.
It was junior high thoughts. I don't think she really knew that when she said that, the impact that it would have on me.
Do you ever have moments of being angry at all in that time or no?
Of course. I mean, I was angry that it was happening. I was scared. There was a lot of fear. I didn't want to go back to a school that wouldn't believe me or hear me out. I didn't know how to stand up against it because I didn't want to say that she had been abused herself. Like, I didn't want to do what she was doing to me because it hurt so bad. Like, I didn't want to come back at her with hurt because it really wouldn't get me anywhere. They did bring in a therapist within the school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They brought in therapists, counselors, and they taught on, you know, on bullying and talking about people and how it can affect their lives, you know, because, I mean, when you're that young, I mean, you're not secure enough to really understand what life is. You're just right. You're in that moment. So you're focusing on what everybody is saying about you, you know, and a lot of people end up dying, killing themselves because of that. A lot of them become addicted to things because of that. Like, they try to escape, you know?
Right.
And for me, like, because of my upbringing, I ran to church, to the people that were welcoming me with open arms and praying for me and believed me. And even if it were to be true, they still loved me.
Right. When Jessica finally confided in her parents about the abuse, they were immediately supportive of her, and they stopped visiting those family friends. She told them in the car one afternoon.
Well, I kind of just blurted it out.
Yeah.
It was very, very unexpected.
Right.
We were leaving this house that we had gone to many times, every holiday. We were there all the time. I just couldn't take it anymore. Like, I honestly couldn't live in that guilt and that shame anymore. I felt that I needed to protect myself, and I was old enough to really understand what was actually happening, you know, and understand that it was causing a lot of trauma and causing a lot of pain and a lot of insecurity for me. And I think that it was causing the same for the girl that was molesting me.
Right.
And in that moment, I blurted it out. My parents really said nothing at all. And I don't know, I didn't expect them to say anything. I just wanted them to know, because I knew in that moment, I knew maybe if I just say something, it'll stop. You know, right. Like, I'm sick of trying to protect this one person in my life. Like, why am I always trying to protect her? Why can't I learn to protect myself? And I know that if I were to speak it, that my parents would protect me. So I wasn't angry at my parents because they didn't know that they were putting me in that situation. I was angry with myself for not speaking up sooner, because right after that, they took action and I never had to go back.
Was there any forgiveness that happened between you and that girl?
Yes, about 8 years ago, I confronted her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I went to her and I just said, I know you know what was going on, and I know that you were being abused, because she was being abused by, like, an older guy. And he was always there at the house as well. So he never touched me, but he would abuse her, and then she would come to me and do the stuff to me. And so, like, in so many ways, like, I felt bad for her and I was allowing the abuse to happen. But I told her in the moment, like, you know, I know that you have a lot to deal with. And I told her that I think that she should probably talk to someone and find a way to understand those moments and to forgive those moments and to heal from those moments. And I just want you to know that I forgive you. And I, you know, I don't really care to be around you that much ever again, but I do want you to know that, like, I know what right. happened between us, and I'm not gonna, like, live in denial about it.
So she stayed as a person in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was, what was the moment that you realized, like, why 8 years ago did you decide to have that conversation with her?
I honestly don't even remember. I know it was, like, after my divorce, and I did a lot of, like, soul searching. I was just in that place where I was celibate at the time, like, and I was, like, on this journey to explore myself, and I knew that I couldn't, you know, move forward without letting her know that I wasn't going to just leave it unsaid. I left it unsaid for far too long, but I knew that if I was honest with her, it would clear my conscience, and I even sent her the book, and I told her that I hope that it brings healing.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, this series is produced by Headspace Studios. Headspace has thousands of hours of meditation, mindfulness, movement, and sleep content. The best tool you have is your mind, so take care of it. Learn more at headspace.com. So was the act of saying to her that you forgave her, was that kind of a one and done act of forgiveness for you? Or was it an ongoing process?
I had talked to her brother about it before. Mm-hmm. And I talked to her mother as well.
Oh, so you did your research.
I did. Yeah. I wanted to tell her family so they could take care of her after I told her, you know, that I forgive her, because I knew it would be hard for her to even hear that from me.
Why?
Because there had been so many years had gone by. And I mean, maybe she is the kind of person that could just sweep it under the rug, but I couldn't sweep it under the rug any longer, because I realized how much destruction that it was causing me to hold on to. I felt that if I was honest and just surrendered and talked to the people that I knew that were involved and knew that loved her, that they could help her, and I didn't have to anymore.
What was her reaction to you saying that?
She really didn't say much. We haven't spoken really since either.
But you still felt confident in your act of explaining to her that you forgave her, that your forgiveness with her was complete.
My forgiveness was complete, and I told her that I just wanted her life to be lived in a healthy way, because I don't know why I still cared, but I did.
Right. It seems that you were raised to be really compassionate mm-hmm. and empathetic.
I don't know. Are people born that way, or do they learn that? Well, I feel like it's kind of, I think it might just be one of my traits. Right. Like, I am a very compassionate person.
Right. Is your sister that way or no?
I mean, Ashley's very passionate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Ashley is very empathetic for sure.
Writing my book, I found that a lot of people who had any sort of relationship with forgiveness had also grown up with faith being a big part of their lives. It seems that faith allows people to believe in a higher power and gives them something to turn to.
Well, you're so alone if you don't. You know, it's like, for me, it's like, who is it that I'm talking to then in my head?
Right.
Like, who is that? Like, who am I having conversations with? You know, yes, myself, but also a higher power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Ashley, I always have envied the personality that she has. Like, some of her traits are so powerful and strong. And she would have never let that happen to her. Like, she would have, like, punched the person.
Yeah. My younger sister is similar.
Like,
yeah.
Like, she would have absolutely, like, stood up for herself. She's always had a sense of confidence and, you know, honesty about herself that, like, makes her so unique and such a really, such an amazing individual. And she's always fearlessly been herself. And for me, like, it took a lot longer to learn how to own being myself. And she also changes a lot. You know, like, she's very much like, you know, she can just roll with it, you know? And I think too deeply about things. I think about every single person in the room and what they've gone through in their life and then how it plays a role. Like, I think.
I wonder if that's being oldest.
Maybe it could be.
I feel like I'm the same way with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think about things, marinate on things for a very long time.
Yeah, because you feel responsible. Yeah. Like, you feel,
I think
you
it's
know,
the oldest.
Responsible. You feel like you're a caretaker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you have to, like, I just want to understand everybody all the time. And Ashley's like, no, understand me, you know? Like, I'm like, gosh, I so envy that. I wish I could have that,
I know. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You were talking about self-forgiveness, which I think is probably the hardest thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I also loved in your book, just as a woman, seeing how open you were about talking about all of the crazy relationships that mm-hmm. you had been in, unhealthy ones. Mm-hmm. And then now, of course, you have an amazing husband and a very healthy relationship. And I think a lot of women relate to that, because I feel like everyone, majority of women, have been in toxic or unhealthy relationships.
Absolutely.
All of the learnings that you've had from going into these and being in these toxic relationships, and how they've all led you to a healthy relationship and receive that kind of love. And mm-hmm. my mom said that to me when I married my husband. She was like, everybody before that led you to where you are today, and being able to accept that love, be able to be loved that way. Mm-hmm. What was the self-forgiveness part for you when you look back at those relationships that you were in?
Well, I think it was really taking blame out of the scenario. You know, it's like, you know, in relationships, like, your fault. No, it's my fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. You know, like, anytime you would ever get into an argument, you know, I would always end up being the one who's like, I was always the one who would end up apologizing. But I'm like, I end up apologizing for them.
Right.
You know, and it was getting me nowhere fast, you know? And, like, in my relationships, I mean, I wouldn't change any of those relationships, because they did really define who I am. And we all need to go through relationships, whether they're dysfunctional or whether they're just fun or whether they're just about growing. Like, you know, I've had all different kinds of relationships, but in those relationships, I've given myself over completely.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, relationships are very tricky. And, you know, and especially when you love so hard and love so much and love so openly. I had to, like, take responsibility for giving myself over completely when these other guys weren't doing the same. And I was really trying to get that from them. Like, I was really trying to make them love me as much as I loved them. There's just no way to do that. It has to be a natural thing, you know? And I really had to learn that the hard way. But I ended up, you know, like, realizing that I needed to marry someone who could be my best friend.
Right.
You know, not somebody that I needed to change. I mean, I did have to forgive myself for the pain that that did cause.
Jessica learned that the process of forgiving yourself can lead to so many revelations. For her, it required taking an honest inventory of her pains and her mistakes. She had to come to terms with what she really wanted her life to look like. Jessica had numbed herself with alcohol and stimulants for years. She writes in her memoir that she was, quote, killing herself with all the drinking and pills. Once she had that realization, she decided she was done and got sober in 2017.
And I take full responsibility for my drinking completely. Like, I mean, I would drink when I was anxious, which is most of the time. But once I stopped drinking, a lot of the anxiety stopped. Like, I think that drinking actually made me more uncomfortable and more anxious and more disconnected from myself.
You are sober now, and some of the people that I talk to, people whose parents became sober or who had addiction in their life, part of that process is, you know, making amends with people from your past. And forgiveness is a huge theme of sobriety. Did you find that as a huge theme in your journey with becoming sober?
Yes. I mean, I noticed the darkness that alcohol was giving me. But really, like, I did not want my children to see that darkness. I was having these questions that I didn't want to be having. And I think that I was trying to numb myself from those questions. And I take full responsibility for my drinking completely. Like, I did have to forgive myself. I mean, I didn't want people to, like, change themselves around me, too. So when I stopped drinking, like, it was really annoying when nobody would drink around me. Because I like people to be themselves, you know? And I don't want people to tiptoe and walk on eggshells around me. And that made me more uncomfortable. I'm like, no, I want you to be yourself. Like I truly do not want this alcohol anymore. It's not a part of my life. Like, I am not, it's not one of those things that's like, ooh, drink me. It's not like that at all. It's not tempting. I don't like it. I feel like it, you know, it held me back. And when I could have been moving forward in so many areas of my life. You know, and there was all those things that I had to forgive. You know, there was these things that I was causing. I had to take ownership of that, you know, like, of everything that I was causing. And I had the life that I wanted, but I was trying to destroy something for some reason. And I really wanted to understand what it was that I was trying to cope with. A lot of that was my parents' divorce.
Your parents got divorced when you were an adult.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got separated when I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And the way your dad told you about separating from your mom was crazy. To give some context here, Jessica was in the hospital giving birth to her first child when her dad decided to break the news that he was leaving her mother. Needless to say, the timing of this felt insensitive and the news was a huge blow to Jessica. She looked up to her parents as role models for a strong relationship. To make matters even more complicated, Jessica and her father's lives were deeply intertwined. Her dad had been her manager her entire career. You know, you had obviously, like, a complicated relationship with your dad. What is the forgiveness role that, or if there is any, that has been played in your relationship with your dad?
My dad loves me with all of his heart, and that has never been a question. I mean, my father, when he did say, like, thank you for giving me the courage to do this.
When you were delivering your first child.
Which is crazy.
When I'm creating my own family. But he was like, he was honestly trying to thank me.
Right.
You know, and I had to really go back to that conversation and try and understand his intentions. And they actually were pure. Like, he needed to get out of the relationship to be the person he wanted to be, you know, and I can't not respect that, right. You know, and I did do that. So I did the very same thing. So he was honest,
yeah.
You know, and honesty hurts. Honesty hurts sometimes, you know, like my parents' divorce, when your foundation is rocked like that, it's really painful. And then you start to question everything, mm-hmm. you know, how you were raised. You start to question the sermons that your dad was preaching. You start to question the vulnerability of your mother or, you know, like whatever it may be, like, you know, like everything. And I realized that my parents were actually okay. Like, I was making it dramatic, more dramatic than they were actually making it, you know? My father and I now are closer than we've ever been. I'm supporting my mom and my dad and in their new lives, and we're all still a family unit. It's just different. We're, you know, we still do Christmas. We do everything together still because they're the grandparents of my children, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and they're my parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not the way I thought it was going
to
be.
Right. Yeah. And what was it like to go back and forgive in all those areas that you're talking about?
I felt like it was easy because when I stopped drinking, I was forgiving so much. I was actually truly forgiving. I wasn't just saying that I forgive you. I was like full heart forgiving. Like,
what does that mean, truly
letting
forgiving?
Go. I think forgiving and, you know, it's not like totally forgetting, but it's forgiving and letting go and moving forward. And it's like, where, you know, okay, that's settled. I've said that. I've made my peace. And now I move forward. And there is a life that is waiting for me to live, you know, and I want to be a part of that life.
Do you believe in forgiving and forgetting or forgiving and not forgetting?
Do we ever forget? I literally like remember the color of a shirt that somebody was wearing 15 years ago to a random, literally like a random radio station event or something. Like, I remember everything.
Remember.
I have the craziest memory. I can't say that I forget it because that would be a lie, but forgiving is enough.
Right.
You know, you don't have to forget it, but you can heal from it.
Have you ever said that you forgave someone and you really didn't?
Not now, but yes.
In the past.
Yeah, in the past, yeah. Because with me, a lot of my relationships, loyalty is everything
right.
to me. Once you mess with loyalty, I mean, you're almost dead to me. that's the end all for me.
Right.
Like, and that's when I can walk away with clarity, and that's when I can walk away like with strength, like, and know that I will not go back.
What does real and true forgiveness mean to you?
Real and true forgiveness, you have to be at the place in your heart that you're actually available for yourself, you know, and you alone. Like, don't forgive just because people say that that's the thing to do. I mean, you have to really own that forgiveness. You have to understand your forgiveness, and you have to be a part of your own forgiveness. It's easy to say the words, I forgive you. It's a lot harder to actually live the life of forgiveness.
Forgiving her childhood abuser took time, And Jessica said forgiving herself is an ongoing process. Jessica's comfort around forgiveness and her open and honest approach to discussing it is an inspiration to me and anyone who wants to welcome forgiveness into their lives. Thank you so much for doing this. It was amazing.
Thank you. I love talking to you. Like, love talking we need to hang out.
I know. I know. We will, and not have any of it recorded. Get to the real nitty gritty. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course.
Thanks so much for listening. And thanks again to Jessica Simpson for speaking with me. You can get a copy of her memoir, Open Book, wherever books are sold. The Headspace app has thousands of hours of mindfulness and meditation content for you, including meditations on forgiveness, grief, noting, and more. Download it today and try it for free. The Gift of Forgiveness is hosted and executive produced by me, Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. You can find my book, also called The Gift of Forgiveness, wherever books are sold. This show is produced by Monique Laborde, sound designed by Dan Kroll. From Headspace Studios, the executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway. This podcast is produced in partnership with Cadence 13.